Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Steve Lowe is a South African musician and singer-songwriter who specializes in album rock, blues rock, country rock, and Americana music. He has been an active musician since 1981, performing with numerous bands, most notably Blue Sky. As a solo artist, he's continued to record music, release albums, and tour the world. He was inducted in the South African Rock Hall of Fame in 2003. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Steve Lowe. Steve, thank you so much for your time today. So starting off, where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've got an album coming out. Yes. I've got a single out at the moment and another one coming out.
Lovely. And you're based in Cape Town, Johannesburg, correct?
Cape Town. Yeah, I'm in Cape Town.
Cape Town, South Africa, I meant to say. Steve, let's take it to all the way to the very beginning. How you got into the music business from just out of or in school or in varsity. Tell us your musical journey in a hybrid nutshell, so to speak.
Well, I started off at school. I formed a band in the 60s called Atlantic Rose when I was at school with a couple of buddies. And I kind of carried on. I did a solo thing at university. And then with guys I met at Stellenbosch, we formed a band in the early 80s called All Night Radio. And we did two albums and toured from 83 to 86. And then I formed a new band. That band broke up and I formed a new band, made an album called Waiting for the Dawn in 89. It was released in 1990. And I did that with a band called Big Sky. And we did five albums between 1990 and 2008. And we did a DVD in 2010, I think. And then I made an album in 2020, which was released in 2021, called Headlight Dreams. And I've just done a new album now, which is called Thunder and Rain. So that's it. I've recorded, I don't know, about nine albums.
Let's take it all the way back to the 80s. What was it like performing and touring in apartheid South Africa?
Well, it was weird because, you know, a segregated society, probably the greatest show that we did was the Concert in the Park in 1985, which was the first multiracial concert in South Africa.
Yes.
And with such a beautiful experience, you know, Ellis Park takes 70,000 people when it's full. There were 110,000 people there and it was incredible. The two bands that really stand out were Jaluka with Johnny Clegg and Sipho. Yep. And I mean, the place, they really held that 110,000 people in the palm of their hand. And the other great act was Lucky Dube. And yes, one just saw the power of music to heal, to bridge divides, to bring people together. And you just realized what a connection everybody has through music. You know, I mean, a guy would just, I can remember him clearly just looking at me and grabbing me when Lucky Dube played and said, I love this man. You know what I mean? It was just, it was such a beautiful experience. It gave you hope for the future. And, you know, democracy came. But I would say the Concert in the Park was such a great event. And it showed one that music is a great bridge and a great healing force in the world.
Is it, you know, you're so right. You can put on a song and so many different types, and I hate, you know, hate the word labels, you know, because, you know, people tend to label themselves, but so many labeled type people connect with a song, and yet in the gist of the reality of the world, they supposedly hate each other, inverted commas, because of what society or culture or religion says. So I totally agree with you. And to be united in that space, it must have been very powerful and unifying.
Yeah, and music is so much more ancient than politics. You know, politics is a new thing. It's a new concept. And music must be millions of years old. You know, yep, nature is just filled with music. You know, animals are singing to each other all the time, whether it's whales singing 160 verses of a different song, elephants with so many notes, birds. It's nature, the world is full of music at all times. It's very, very ancient. All this other stuff is very, very new.
And brought in by humans.
Yeah, exactly. It's our way of, you know, trying to order society, but Music is a much better way.
I love that. Now, you were collaborating or creating or releasing music, the bands Big Sky, your earlier band. You're now releasing solo music. What is the difference between collaborating or releasing or working with a band compared to working singularly in a solo environment?
Well, with a band, you kind of choose your bandmates, and you must have the same concept as to what kind of music you want to make. I was always the songwriter in All Night Radio, and that was a band, and they were great musicians, but they weren't songwriters, and they were happy for me to write the music. And then it's basically the performance of the music and recording it and performing it live. Working on your solo projects, and Big Sky was a loose concept where it was me with musicians that I would a revolving cast of musicians, both for
Okay.
live work and for studios. It wasn't a band as such. I just used the name Big Sky. You get to choose the musicians. You don't have to be bonded. Your lives don't have to be bonded together. Your social lives, you're not living in everybody's pockets. So there's a certain freedom to that. You can still have your own life and you can realize your musical vision.
Why the name Big Sky, though? What inspired
Just
that
liked
name?
it. I just liked, I always thought of South Africa as, the space of the Karoo and the wide open spaces and the big blue sky. And I just liked the word sky and big and sky. I just liked the concept of space and space across music and space across time. And I just liked the sound of it.
Just understanding, so you release this Big Sky more as yourself with a revolving door of artists or musicians, and now you're releasing the solo stuff. Couple of questions. Why wasn't as Steve Lowe at that time just yourself? And why now Steve Lowe?
I don't really know. No, maybe it was a transition from All Night Radio to wanting another band and to wanting to hide behind a band name rather than putting myself out. So,
Okay.
if you look at Johnny Clegg, it was Jaluka, and then Savuka, and then you just thought, well, it's actually my concept. It's Johnny Clegg. So I suppose it's similar there. I kind of grew up in the concept of bands and band names rather than solo artists. The solo artists were the great singers, whatever, Sam Cooke or Elvis. But then I never saw myself as a solo artist. I always saw myself as a member of a collective. And I suppose now I've got older and it's like, well, it's me.
It's just you, yes.
Maybe have enough confidence now to go by my name and not hide behind a band name.
You say hiding in inverted commas, but being known as a band compared to being yourself, there's some form of anonymity with that because it's like, oh, it's a band. It's a whole array of different people. It's not really an individual's name. And there's some form of protection around that. And I mean, these days, a Big Sky was around pre-social media. And what are your thoughts around social media?
Well, I'm not very involved in social media, and when I made the album Headlight Dreams, I never realized that, record labels or people going to put the stuff out said, but you're like a ghost. What are your social numbers? I'm like, what is that? And I didn't really know. I don't have a social media presence or a very small one. I have people that help me with that, but I think it can tend to dominate your life. I like to try and stay away from it.
It's interesting because now that has become or the general person's way of sort of hiding in the sense that would they say those things or tweet those things or comment on those things in real life if that person was standing in front of them? I don't think so because it gives them a wall or a barrier or protection that they can say, ah, I can say this, I can do this, and there won't be any repercussions or results from it. But now with this cancel culture, that's allowing, some people to feel the consequences and accountability of their voices and words, not always to the greatest of way, but it's interesting because pre-social media, you had sort of in inverted commas, you were hiding in, not really hiding, but you had the band as a front. And now when social media is out there, you're going out there and being yourself. So it's a bit of a interesting way of rolling out your career.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to say, I'm very happy to say through my music.
Okay.
I don't really want to comment about my daily life or say cute things or make interesting comments. Anything that I've got to say, I'm very happy to say through my music. I do understand that social media is a very powerful marketing tool, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. For me, it's like I'm on social media as Slepsvant, as sort of I go on as my front. You know, I don't have any personal profiles or where I'm commenting on the cute stuff or saying anything. I just go on as Slepsvant. And speaking of the music and artists that I'm collaborating on these interviews with. So I totally agree with you. It's like I have never been one for social media. I understand its importance and why it's out there and as a marketing tool. But for me, it's like, no.
Yeah, me too.
Your creative process of writing music from 0 minutes to a 3 to 4 to 5 minute song, what is that creative process and how does something come from nothing to that 3 to 4 minute song for you?
Well, I think it's the way your brain works, and it's important for me to have an instrument. I can write lyrics in my head, but I like to play guitar, and my mind is trained enough to hear an interesting riff or an interesting group of notes or an interesting chord, and I know enough to be able to string the one string chord with a similar interesting chord. And if you're very lucky, you'll come up with some great lyrics as you're doing that, because for me, the sound of the lyrics, even if you're singing nonsense lyrics, is what scans well with the music. So it's a process of just getting some words going with the interesting riff that you like. And then if you're lucky, those lyrics just sometimes they come out fully formed and rhyming and the whole thing, or you'll get a few fragments and work on them later. But it's just getting an interesting riff, an interesting beat, interesting chord changes, and obviously a melody.
So you speak of the riff. So am I correct in understanding? And you mentioned it that you play the guitar. So are you self-taught or did you go for lessons?
I had piano lessons when I was young, back when I was whatever, 8 or 9, 10, around there. And then there was a guitar lying around at home. My brother had taken lessons and given up on it. And I picked that up and started strumming around and got a chord book. And then I haven't had any guitar lessons. So I don't know if that's self-taught. I've had musical training as a piano player.
I'm sure potentially the training as a pianist allowed you to understand the chords and the rhythms and the, yes, I mean, it's completely different to guitar, the piano, but it opened a door that might not necessarily have been there if you hadn't learnt the piano before picking up that guitar.
I think so. You know, the brain is a wonderful thing, and you don't really know, but you know, the stuff is going in there all the time, what you're hearing, and it's getting stored somewhere. And basically, if you're lucky, some of that will come out in a unique form. And if you've got something to say, hopefully it'll come out your mouth. I've found that the most interesting things come from the unconscious state rather than later when you try and make it better, you tend to just make it worse. It's when you're not thinking about what you're doing, it becomes unique, and you will say words that you wouldn't in normal conversation because, you know, me speaking to you, I'm thinking, well, let me make a sensible answer here. Whereas when you're trying to create something, it doesn't have to be sensible. And that's actually what connects with people. A unique take on a phrase or a word or a beat, something that's new. You have to cut through all the noise to somebody, and you have to cut through on an emotional basis and on a rhythmic basis and on a word basis. And just saying something, reversing the way a word normally is, well, people will, you know, it's a hard day's night or 8 days a week, you know, it's not, no, it's 7 days a week. No, but 8 days is a great song. It's like everybody, like, yeah, 8 days a week. So it's that kind of stuff.
But what's interesting as well is also not only you mentioned the emotional, the word, and the what was the third thing that you mentioned? There were three things,
It's
but
just the percussive sound, the lyric, and connecting on, with people on an emotional basis. They've got to, like, if you say 8 days a week, you realize, man, I have been working harder. You know, not I haven't been working 7 days a week. I've been working 8 days a week, man. I've
But
been
also,
doing double time.
it's interesting, also like pushing away from that thought, because often thought creeps in. It's like other people will start doubting themselves and thinking, oh, is that good enough? Or are they talking nonsense? Maybe they must just leave it to 7 days a week. Or, you know, it's not a hard day's night. So allowing that thinking mind to be pushed out the window as well to allow those interesting and out their thoughts, out of the box thoughts to just come flowing through.
Yes, so that's it's always in the unconscious state that the best stuff comes through. If it's too sculpted and too thought out, it doesn't connect emotionally because we get bombarded with thought out stuff 24/7, you know. So we're
Speaking
looking
of
for
the
something.
unconscious and the unconscious state, have you ever come up with a song or words or phrases in your sleep?
I haven't, no.
No. Okay.
But I believe Keith Richards came up with a satisfaction riff in his sleep.
I'm sure there are
That's
lots because it's that unconscious, that sleep where it gives you ideas and that tapping into that inert and infinite wisdom that we all have, and there's no judgment or no limitations there.
It's definitely the
Absolutely.
best part of us, the unthought out part.
Yep.
And the world is just becoming so much, you know, speaking of social, everything's becoming scripted and everybody's just sick of it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's scripting and styling themselves 24/7. You know, must be a good photo, must be make sense, or
Or
must be a
filtered, not necessarily only good, must be filtered. And that's not who they are.
The unconscious state is what gets through to people in music.
Now, speaking of music, when you first launched or created music with your bands and Big Sky, it was cassettes, it was vinyls, it was CDs. I'm very excited that those are making a comeback. I love me a CD. I'm not sure if you know, but last year, the first time in 21 years, CDs had an increase of sales worldwide.
I didn't know
But
that.
now we've got these digital platforms. What are your thoughts on the way people are consuming music compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, it's interesting. On the one side, it's good because you can get through to, for me as an artist, I can get through to people that I wouldn't usually get through to. You know, I can. Someone in Sweden can like my song. Someone in wherever, you know, the most remote place, Georgia, can like my song, which was impossible before. There's definitely a deeper connection when you're buying an album, a vinyl album. You're looking at the great artwork. You're putting it in your collection. You're taking it out carefully. You're cleaning it. You're putting it on. You're listening to the needle hit the vinyl, the crackling. You hear the great sound. I mean, just sound quality wise, it's so much better than the quality on streaming. I don't think people are ever going to give up the convenience of streaming with having millions of songs in their phones and it connects to their car, connects to the everything in their home. But I think you're going to have, you know, fans of music will go out consciously and buy the artist's vinyl, buy the artist's merchandise, buy the artist's poster, CD, whatever. So I think it's going to be a hybrid system. People won't give up the convenience. I mean, it's so much better in your car not to have 30 CDs lying around on the floor. Well, for me.
You see, you say that and that freaks me out because I used to put my CDs in like this folder that carefully be put into the CD player. They would
I
not
know.
be lying anywhere on the floor. So that's like, ah, you can't do that.
Well, I always thought it was really dangerous changing CDs in the car. And then I got a thing that was like it had a CD changer in the boot of the car.
Yes.
You could put five in there. But yeah, the convenience. I mean, I preferred cassettes in the car. I loved cassettes.
I don't, you know, what freaked me out about cassettes is when they used to wind out and then you had
Oh
to
yeah.
put your finger in the middle to get them
Oh, you had
wind
to
and then
get
they'd be
a
Argh.
pencil.
No, that for
You had
me,
to
I didn't like
get
that. I prefer CDs.
a pencil. Yeah, absolutely.
I hear what you're saying about the convenience of the digital, but don't you agree or don't you think that makes people blasé about music? Because it's not about anymore about saving that money, that effort or energy to go to the shop or online, whatever, to purchase it, to wait for it in the post or to drive home with that thing in your hand, opening it. And it's now become like, oh, whatever, you know, whatever. And that for me allows music for you guys to lose some of, you know, there's so much that goes into music. There's the writing of the songs, there's the melodies, there's the instruments, there's the recording of the songs, the studio time, the photography. That's a lot of energy and effort from your time, from your guys as artists, performing artists' time. And now the people on the receiving end is like, ah, I'll just fast forward if I want to, if I don't like the song.
There is, so you know, you had fans, you had people who bought the CDs, they wrote fan letters. It was a lot more work to be a fan, and now it is a lot more disposable. It's like, yeah, I'll listen to this, I won't, I'll stream that. But the other side is you do get through to people easier. You know, before there was no chance that my music would ever get through to Eastern Europe, you know, now you can get through to many more people. But if I had to choose between the two systems, I would choose the old system.
Yep. Same here. But I still do. I've got my Spotify subscription because I teach spinning classes and I can't have an advert coming on during my spinning class. But I still buy my CDs every month. I put budgets of a, whatever. And you can't really get them for the people listening overseas in South Africa. There are no more CD shops. You can't, there are no like H&M or any of those CD shops or Tower Records. But overseas, there still are. So I get my CDs from Amazon
Me too.
every like month. I'll budget for one or two CDs that are on my list, my never-ending list.
Yeah, and I love the artwork, and I mean, I just love the vinyl artwork.
But
Those
isn't the
are great.
vinyl artwork the same artwork that will go in the CD? Or is it somehow
Yeah, but it's
different?
so much bigger.
Oh,
Like, it's
it's
just
bigger.
bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, just better photos, better quality. You can read the lyrics.
I suppose you don't
Not
need
a
to take your
magnifying
glasses
glass.
out. I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, it's not necessarily your, because every time I ask you this question, the answers would be different. It could be different in 5 minutes' time, 10 minutes' time, 2 hours' time, or tomorrow. So, your top five favorite songs by other artists, what would those be?
I think Born to Run by Springsteen. Let's see. I'm a big Stones fan. The album Exile on Main Street, track off there, any of those tracks, maybe Ventilated Blues. Heard It Through the Grapevine, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, two more.
Let's see. All Along the Watchtower by Dylan. Something by The Band. Let's see. Long Black Veil.
Okay, interesting list. Some of those I haven't heard, so I'll add them to my list to listen. So tell me about performing live. What do you enjoy about that? What's your experience about it? And what's your process around creating a live show?
Well, I love the connection between the band members. You know, it's something that you're doing together and you connecting on a metaphysical level, and you're also connecting with the audience on a metaphysical level. So you have to get through to them emotionally to give a good show. You have to get your lyric through. You can see in the audience whether you're connecting with them, and you have to connect with your band members. So, I mean, that's just the connection, really, the emotional connection between the audience and you. The other people on the stage with you is just what makes it such a great experience.
But you speak of that connection, but so I want to dispute that, especially from the audience and yourself's perspective, because I'm a very much a person who loves going to concerts. I love standing right in front. But what I find is that, and for the people who are listening, I'm with Steve on Zoom. I've got my phone up and I'm showing him how everyone in the front or the first five front rows or 10 front rows have got their phones up to get the perfect picture, to get the perfect video, to get the perfect shot. Don't you find that with so many people with their phones up allows for a little less connection and a disconnect between yourself and the audience? Doesn't it frustrate you? Because it frustrates me and I'm amongst them.
So, there was a time when you couldn't even take a camera or a
Yes.
recording device to a concert. I mean, people have given up now. I mean, there's no ways you're going to get people to give up their phones.
Yeah.
So it's a relatively new thing, and it has invaded all of life. I mean, it's whether it's a concert or whether it's people go to a restaurant and look around. There's people looking at their phones, not talking to each other. They're couples that are both on the
Yeah.
phones. It could be alone.
Yeah.
So the phone has been this great temptress of everybody. And yes, I do think it's you're not in the moment. If you're looking at your phone, you're not in the moment. And I'm a relative newcomer to a mobile phone. I've only had one for I think 7 years or something.
Okay.
I resisted it, but in the end, it was a losing battle. Like people would have to phone my wife to get hold of me. But I think that is frustrating. And hopefully, if you're really giving a great show, that people can't think of their phones, they just rung out.
So now the podcast is listened to throughout the world. South Africa, the UK, USA, Australia, Belgium, those are the top five countries that the podcast is listened to. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Well, music is a great thing. Keep listening to music, whatever music, just keep listening every day. Do not stop listening to music. It's great for your health.
Exactly that. And we dropped the mic with that comment by Mr. Steve Lowe. So this is Celebs Front Barrett Edelstein signing out with Mr. Steve Lowe. Thank you, Steve.